No, we, you know, I mean, we just, we, the Bears are what we thought they were. They're what we thought they were.
Say that one more time, please. One more time. Boom! One more time. Boom!
Welcome to the Bear Essentials. On today's show, we recap the Bears' 27-3 victory over the Bengals and much more. What's good, Perez?
Man, Dub, all these victories, man. Shit, man. This season going to be good. I know it's preseason, all this. Don't say shit to me, but I love these victories, Dub. It's so much better on a show after a win.
Yeah, man, we get to talk about the positives, you know what I mean? So I love that, man, and that does matter a little bit because, you know, you and I know people are still trying to make the team, and these players still got a lot to prove in general.
Hell yeah, man, and we're going to get into that in a little bit, but I will say this. Before we get into the show, I want to give a shout-out to Eric Crimmins, one of our loyal listeners, A-Dub, and audience. Eric was dope enough to donate two of his season tickets to the game last weekend. To DBE, which we then gifted to a local Chicago public school student, Aaron Baker, who had perfect attendance last year. So shout out to Eric, man, for the generosity, man, for being dope, for listening to this show, and for sharing like something and making like something happen for a kid who had never been to a Bears game before. So, man, like they sent us pictures over, man. They were just so excited, you know, to be there, and they had a treat of a game.
Man, salute to Eric, man. Hey, we appreciate the generosity, man, doing something for a kid and saluting what a kid has done well. You know, perfect attendance is a great thing, and we encouraging kids to go to school in general. Appreciate the generosity there, Eric, and doing the right thing for a youngster, man. So thank you so much, man. We appreciate you, brother.
Well, listen, as I told Eric, I said, you got something in the mail coming your way. So, yeah, stay tuned.
Yes, sir.
You know what I'm saying? Because, hey, we believe in paying it forward around here, man, and you know, that's something that's just near and dear to A-Dub and I. So, man, Eric, man, just being a part of this DBE community. And the fact, man, to me, I'm going to just say this real quick, man. On this show, we don't ask people to buy anything. We don't ask you guys to subscribe to anything. We just want you to listen. We just want you to be a part of what me and A-Dub are doing. That's all we want. And so when we have our listeners, man, that take that type of time to not only listen to us, but now they're investing in our community here in Chicago.
Yeah.
Man, that's something, man. I wholeheartedly, man, just appreciate that. So
you and I are big on giving back to the community, bro. So anyone else that does that, you know, you got my support. I appreciate it. And again, back to Eric, bro. We appreciate him doing that as well. So it's a big deal to us, man. And we're going to continue doing our thing as well of giving back to the community. So thanks again.
Yes, sir. Well, audience, before we get into the Bears 27-3 smackdown against the Bengals, who they? Y'all asses out of here. But before we get into that, A-Dub, got to talk to you about Hard Knocks, man, because episode 2 of Hard Knocks, man, I thought came even better than the first episode, bro.
Good episode. I like what I saw, man, from everybody who was part of it. So I'm looking forward to chatting with you about this, bro.
So I just got to tell you this, A-Dub. I was really impressed with, of course, you know that they were going to focus a lot on Caleb Williams.
Yeah.
But the big thing for me is we got to see a little bit of his off-the-field persona on this one, and I really like
it. And it helps you get a chance to, at least the audience for sure, right, who haven't been at the games or anything else, to see him off on the field and off the field. It's good to understand what a player is and their personality, what they're about, man. And that gave us a little bit more understanding of who Caleb is, man. I like how Hard Knocks did it.
And also, too, you saw how he professed he loved football, right? And he said that, damn, he said the Olympics are going to have flag football in 2028. He said, I totally would do it. And I saw Ibrahim looking like, all right.
Like, here you are.
But also, too, man, I think for him, you can just tell Caleb Williams is a guy that basically, it's just about football for him. And yeah, he's kind of dedicated his life to that craft. And that's something for me that Hard Knocks has done a really good job of just kind of really illustrating how important this game is to him.
Yeah, just hearing his history to talk about that, bro, how football, what it means to him, how he grew up in a way, bro, He's been all about football, man. That's been his entire life, pretty much, Fred. So just seeing where he's at right now when it comes to football, it speaks a lot to this guy, man. It's not just about playing for money. It's actually a passion, bro. And I like a guy like that who loves what they do.
I want to ask you, man, Roma Dunze, man, which, how we grading his rap skills?
Oh, man, bro. I will give him credit for knowing the words. I'm like, he got the words, bro. You know
That's
what I
right.
mean?
Unlike Caleb.
Right, exactly. So I got to give him credit for that part of it, man. But I was cracking up to see him know those words to that Chris Brown song, man. He got me going, man. Kiss, kiss. I'm like, oh, my God. You know, but he had me cracking up, man. Rome, you the man, though, bro. To be out there, to go out there in front of your team and perform that, man, you get kudos for that.
Man, he did that shit with confidence, bro. I love that. I love, love, love that. And we're getting a little glimpse here of the rookies on this team and how they're being accepted by their veterans, man. Because Rome, you can tell the teammates, they rock with them. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And get your team laughing, man. Give them memorable moments of who you are, your characteristics, your personality. It's all part of the makeup, Perez. And you're right. He's giving us a lot of everything when it comes to him, man. So salute the Rome, man, for standing on business.
We got a glimpse of Caleb Williams and Roma Dunze starting to develop that connection. Both on and off the field, right? You saw them having a lot of those conversations on the sideline, off to the side, and now we're seeing it, you know, we'll get into it later on the preseason game, but we're also seeing it now happen on the football field. So my thing is, that's something that's happening right before our eyes, and I love that, man. Two rookies coming into the league together that are growing together, and man, this is a beautiful thing to see.
You love the early chemistry, Prez, and you and I know it's only going to get better, man, for those two. So man, like what I'm seeing for both of them.
Another thing, too, man, it's talking about the receivers. You talked about on an earlier show how Keenan Allen and Jalen Johnson were having those battles and how Jalen Johnson was getting the best of them. The one thing I can really say to you, and these are just things that I've even noticed from just covering camp, is both sides are making each other better. And that's the thing that we're seeing in Hard Knocks, how you're seeing both of these sides really competing against each other. And Caleb even said it after the game against the Bengals. He was like, hey, man. They asked him, like, hey, what's your impression so far of the training camp preseason time? He said, our defense is really good. And that's the ultimate compliment.
But I tell you, boy, those one-on-one battles they showed with Johnson and Allen, I'm like, man, ooh, ooh. Man. Hey, I got to give it to Jalen Johnson, man, because it looked like he won most of those battles, bro. The Bruh. Couple of picks he got, man, I said, man, Jalen Johnson was ready for the smoke. He was ready.
Bro, I'm telling you, it's the same thing with that Bengals joint practice. There was not one completed pass against Jalen Johnson in that practice. Not one. I don't know. I hope teams learn quickly. Don't throw it over there on one side. Go the other way.
Hey, they're going to have to learn, man, especially after snubbing them in the top 100, man. Hey, I think he got snubbed, Prince.
That's the thing with them lists, man, A-Dub. I think a lot of times, man, when they do those lists, they snub people on purpose where people can talk about their list. Because there ain't no damn way you're going to have a list of top 100 players in this league and Jalen Johnson's nowhere on that list. Man, come right. on, man. Come on.
Come on. Right. Unreal, bro. Unreal. But you're right. They probably want to get some clickbait by doing that, man. But, hey, snubbing a guy like him, all you're going to do is bring the best of him out. And so I'm cool with that.
The Velus Jones aspect on Hard Knocks, A-Dub, what were you thinking about that? Because obviously we talked about how hey, Velus, one step forward, two steps back, Jones. You know, he'll show you a little bit, but then also you're like, damn, Velus. But what did you think about his little appearance on Hard Knocks last week?
I like his appearance, man. You know what I'm saying? You know, I like the fact that he compared himself to Percy Harvin and all that stuff, man. Mm-hmm. You know, and it lets me know that, you know what, dude? You take that halfback role a little serious, you know? And I like that, you know what I mean? Because as you and I know, Percy Harvin's more like a wide receiver and running back, bro. He can do it all, you know? So,
Hybrid.
Exactly. So, Velus Jones, you feel like you're a guy like him, man? Hey, it's a guy to study, especially if you want to make this roster here, you know what I mean? To try to differentiate yourself from some of the other running backs, man. So, I like how they did it. But more importantly, bro, I like how Chad Morton was on their ass, man. So,
bro, he wasn't playing no games with the running backs, was he?
Not at all, man. Hey, I tell you, man, Chad Morton is intense, bro. Intense on all of them. Good coach, man. That's how you do it. That's how you pump me up, you know, just from watching Hard Knocks.
I mean, that's a former player, bro. He gets it, right? And and watching him with Ian Wheeler, right? Making sure that Ian Wheeler's getting low, right? Using that pad level. What do you keep telling him? Pad level, Ian, pad level.
Right.
And he was on dude's ass, but then when he saw him had that good run, you saw that he was like, he's a good fucking runner. So he knows that Ian's got some potential, but he's gonna keep pounding him just to make sure that he's attention to detail, which we always right. talk about.
Yes, sir, Perez. And I like the fact you saw Chad Morton chasing him downfield when he had that good run, that
was
bro.
Nice. That was nice.
I said, man, that's what I'm talking about. That's a player's coach right there.
Yes, sir. And I love, too, the fact, first of all, HBCU graduate, Mr. Wheeler. But, yep. man, he put off med school, man, for his NFL career. So that was dope as well. So Ian, he a little baby genius out here in these streets.
And salute to Ian, man. The guy got potential to do a lot of amazing things outside of football, man. So I'm looking to see where his career going to go.
We saw a Canadian Eagle site in A-Dub. And that was funny. He was talking about the People magazine, the women that was hitting him up in his DMs, bro. I was crying, dog. Crying.
Hey, I definitely was too, man. Had me going, bro.
Austin Booker. Now, we talked about him on the last episode, man. Austin Booker was the fifth-round draft pick who is really starting to show some signs for us here. And again, he was last week's version of Colin Johnson, right? And so they're starting to do a really good job of really illustrating some of these players outside of the mainstream players on this roster.
Yeah, man, they had a good conversation, good dialogue about him, man, on Hard Knocks, Perez, and they kind of see the potential in him, man, and that's what you like, man. You see a guy like Booker and what he's done thus far, you're like, hey, it's starting to get noticed, right, by other people, and I think, to your point, they're saying that, hey, this Bears team got some other pieces on here, man, that you might want to pay close attention to.
100%, man. That's what I'm saying. I'm excited not only just for this draft class, I'm just excited for some of these fringe guys that you have. We're going to get into it here as we get into the recap portion of things, but I'm really excited for the roster that Ryan Poles put together here and his coaching staff. Obviously, you mentioned Chad Morton, but I'm just really liking what I've seen from the coaching staff, the attention to detail, just the focus on making sure these guys have the right mindset, man. When you talk to these guys, they all say the same thing about how Flus really preaches the importance of the mental aspect of things. That's so key.
And you see his coaching staff, like you just talked about, man, they all align with that, Perez. They all around together on this, man, and looking at growth of these players and trying to ensure these players grow. You saw how Shane Waldron, man, how he was discussing, you know, Caleb Williams in preparation for the start of that preseason game, man. He was like, hey, we want to make sure we treat this like a regular game here, man, for him, you know, and making sure that Caleb Williams continue to grow. And you like that, bro, that all of them are fully aligned and these players' growth and development, man, and get to the next level.
No, man, and I'm telling you, that's something that you really see every day. At Hallis Hall, those are things that you see with this coaching staff. And like I said, man, it's why you have games like we saw against the Bengals where they're beating the shit out of them 27-3. And it's not just the starters. It's all levels of the team. And I know that the offense got out to a slow start. But one of the things that I wanted to say to you, A-Dub, and audience was, from being at Soldier Field, I was happy that Eberflus made the decision to play the starters through the half because then that gave us a chance to see the offense actually start to click a little bit. Now, we had some naysayers that were hitting us up saying, well, man, I know that you guys posted that throw from Caleb to Rome, but that was against backups and this and that. I'm like, I don't give a fuck if that was against third stringers. That was a special fucking throw. And if you don't realize that shit, bro, you don't know football.
Right. It ain't about, you know what I'm saying, against backups, second string, third string players. That's not what it's about, man. It's about seeing growth from our players. And you're right, Perez. That play is not an easy play to make, bro.
Fuck no.
I mean, that was good. I mean, you talk about good coverage. That was great coverage on that play. It's just that Caleb Williams threw a dime. That's it, bro. You know what I mean? Escape traffic and threw a dime, man. You can't teach that, bro.
He threw that thing like a flick of the wrist. Remember that song? Look at that flick of the wrist. That was right. Caleb, bro. He threw that right into Rome's breadbacks. Roma does it. When I saw the replay of that shit, the damn Bengals defender had his hand over Rome's face mask. That ball dropped right into that dude's arms. That's how perfect that throw was.
That was a special play, bro.
And this is the thing, man. Caleb Williams, like you said, when we talk about growth, he built off of what he did against the Bills. I know he has some shortcomings there, a couple of those drives they stalled and this and that. But guess what? That's what's going to happen, man.
Yeah.
You're talking about a rookie quarterback. I was pleased by what I saw, man. I continue to see a guy here that's confident and comfortable in the pocket. Now, people sit up here and tell me, well, Perez, man, Justin Fields did the same thing, and y'all said that he held on to the football too long. Well, yeah, he did. But see, it's not just about holding the football. It's about what does Caleb do when he has the ball when he's doing that? Caleb's eyes are always down the field.
Right.
Hence that pass to Roma Dunze, which, man, I wish that would have been a completion because that was a good-ass fucking look too.
But it was.
My point, though, A-Dub, is that he's always got his eyes down the field. And I'm not going to get into a whole this guy does this, this guy didn't do that thing. But the people that hit us up, I just want you to know that the things that we're watching Caleb Williams do, you got guys like Tyreek Hill that are sitting here saying, this guy reminds me of Patrick Mahomes.
Right.
That's high fucking praise. Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback in the game.
True.
We ain't going to bring up that man that used to be in Green Bay because I'm like, fuck that. I don't want to hear no comparisons. Fine, that's cute for people that think they like to say that shit, but no. I'm going to stick with Patty Mahomes. But when I hear those type of comparisons, when was Justin Fields being compared to that? And you know we love Justin Fields on this show.
Right.
And we wish him well in Pittsburgh. But my thing is, man, I think we've upgraded at this position.
And I like what you were sharing about the fact that you like how Eberflus gave these guys a chance to continue to gel, you know, give them the whole first half. And that's something you do for a special quarterback like this. You want to make sure he continue to get a rhythm, make sure he continue to learn his wide receivers, bro. This all matters, man, to Caleb Williams' growth. But at the end of the day, bro, those plays that he's doing, man, these are special plays. And he made quite a few of those, bro, you know, on his last drive. And you look at him and say, man, this Caleb Williams kid got a shot, man, at being a great quarterback for the Chicago Bears. So I like what I'm seeing thus far. I don't care who was against, man. I like the fact of seeing this kid continue to grow. And he's showing us a lot. And you hit a lot what you said, Perez, on how the vision and all that stuff, man. That tells me right there, he's showing you still that, hey, I got it in me. And even on those plays that, you know what, that he didn't execute on early, Perez, you can see he was getting rid of football very quickly. So I like that fact that, hey, even still, even though we had some three and outs, he was getting rid of football quickly.
Yeah, exactly. Now, another thing, too, to think about, that touchdown run. Now, that's something that we've seen Justin do, right?
Right.
But my thing is with Caleb, you know that he's got wheels. He has that ability. He has that type of athleticism. But he's even still on that play when he was around scrambling around, his eyes were still down the field. He was looking for somebody to throw the ball to. But then he saw Big Tev in front of him. Big Tev was like, no, I'm going to get you up in his end zone. Let's go.
Hey, man. Salute to Big Tev, man. You know what I mean? I love that because Big Tev was still in blocking mode, bro. Like, I got you. Hey, you know what? You taking off? I still got you, man. So salute to Big Tev about that, man. Get some good blocks.
Man, Big Tev, man. I'm telling you, boy, we love that dude, man. He's the best, man. I love Tevin. And I know, you know, some people out there that was trying to tell us a while ago that Tevin wasn't going to make the opening day roster. That's the thing, man. People with these takes, man. Y'all, yeah. And this is why people are upset right now on Bears Twitter. And you know, either you know, we don't get into all that stuff, but there's a lot of bullshit going on Bears Twitter right now with the quarterback situation. And I just want to tell everybody, let's just enjoy what we have, right? Like, hey, it don't matter what somebody said before when it came to the quarterback. Look, at the end of the day, Justin Fields is in Pittsburgh fighting for an NFL spot, fighting for a number one spot. And right now, we're trying to see if we have our QB1 of the future, right? So my whole thing is everybody's moved on. And I think that it's time for all of us to move on. Like this whole people calling it the Bears Civil War, I'm like, I don't like hearing stuff like that. It's like, it ain't that damn deep, man. It's football.
Right. I'm with you, Prez. Ain't no war, man. Look, let Caleb have his shine, man. It's his time. Let him handle business. Everybody got to get on board, bro. That's where we at right now.
So when you do hear people, though, and I'm going to say it all this, so don't get upset with me, but we've also heard the comparisons to Aaron Rodgers. When you hear those type of comparisons when it comes to Caleb Williams, what kind of, like, you know, comes to mind for you there?
I'm happy to hear that, bro, because you said something very earlier where you said, hey, you know, we talked about being compared to Patrick Mahomes. We have not heard a quarterback compared to these guys before. And now having one, it tells me the outside world see Caleb Williams' potential. And I like that because he showed us a lot of flashes already, you know, Perez, of what we've seen thus far in this short, you know, few games in preseason. But this is what you want to hear someone say about your quarterback, man. Comparisons to other greats, other franchise quarterbacks.
Yeah, and you know what? I think my biggest thing is I just appreciated the fact that, as you mentioned earlier, with the 3-3 and outs, the offense and Caleb faced some adversity. And then they showed you the ability to be able to overcome that adversity, right? But then back to your point when it came to the comparison with Aaron Rodgers, we all know Aaron Rodgers knew how to get out of the pocket and maneuver. He was uncanny with his delivery of the ball. I mean, Caleb Williams, he's got some arm talent. But I think the reason why you compare him to a guy like Mahomes and to Rodgers is because those guys are just freaks, man, when they come throwing that football. And you see that with Caleb, man. He's special.
And you talk a lot about this, bro, before, about when he's on the move, bro, his mobility and seeing the field still and making accurate throws off the run. It's hard to do that, bro. Not many quarterbacks are that accurate and that skilled at doing that, man. We've seen Mahomes do it, of course, very well. We've seen Aaron Rodgers do that very well. And Caleb may be the next one, bro. Just maybe the next one to join that club.
And I would tell you, man, as we always say, iron sharpen iron. And I said earlier in this show, the Bears defense deserves a lot of credit from what we're seeing out of Caleb Williams because they're helping him in that offense prepare for this season. And we know that the offense is still going to be a work in progress. But when we talk about this Bears defense, A-Dub, they have the potential to be a top five unit in all of this football league.
I mean, I love this secondary for sure. You know, from Brisker to Gordon to Smith to Rex to Tyreek Stevenson. It's like, man, they are loaded back there, bro. And those dudes like to get after it, man. And you know what Sweat have done, of course. We talked a lot about him anyway. But this defense is strong, bro. And it would not shock me if them being the top five. Matter of fact, top three, bro, in the NFL.
I mean, don't forget about the linebacker tandem. I mean, the linebackers are fucking solid. You know what I mean? So we got a lot there, man. T.J. Edwards still one of the most underrated football players in the NFL to me. And Tremaine Edmonds, man, he had a really good season. And this is the thing. He had such a good season, in my opinion, that people didn't even talk about it enough. It was quiet, 113 tackles. I'm going to sit up here like four picks, and we didn't even talk about it. Come on, man. That's a really good season.
It really is. It's a very good season. If it wasn't for Montez Sweat doing what he's doing, bro, we'd probably be talking about him.
100%. But I want to talk about the offense for a quick second with you, man. So I mentioned it being a work in progress. So for me, it was really nice seeing those plays by Caleb Williams. It was also nice being in Soldier Field and not covering the game. So I was able to be there, man. And you know how we do, Dub. You know how we do.
Yes, sir.
Bruh, when Caleb scored that touchdown, boy, man, oh, man. Bruh, and I got a bad wheel right now. I forgot about it for a second. I jumped up and all of a sudden I'm like, oh, shit.
I get it, man. Hey, look, Perez, when you show that fandom in you, bro, you go all out, man. You go all out, bro. And I know at that moment, seeing Caleb do what he did, bro, that was a special moment right there, bro. So I get it.
What were your thoughts on that deep shot that he took to Tyler Scott? Because on that play as well, I was like, ooh, that was nice, taking shots down the field. Because those are the things that I think you got to do, man, to keep these defenses honest.
Well, I'll tell you one thing, Perez. If that wasn't a pass interference, man, I think Tyler Scott would have had that one, bro.
Oh, yeah. I think so, too.
Man, that's money, bro. I mean, think about it. You see the replay on it, too. Like, man, that's money. And the dude that held him, he was like, hey, man, I got him. You know what I mean? He owned it, bro, because, you know, he was beat, you know? But the point is, bro, look, if you don't do that to these players – that the Bears have at wide receiver, man, they're going to make a lot of big plays, bro. You got to do things like that because otherwise they can make plays, man. And right now, a guy like Caleb can give it to him.
Yeah, he's going to get the football to him. One of the things, though, that I wanted to just bring up is the fact that the Bears' rushing attack against the Bengals, pretty pedestrian. They were not able to move the football, running the ball. And I also think that probably led to why some of those drives stalled. So am I concerned overly about that? No. But I still think it's something worth at least bringing up.
I'm glad that my boy Khalil Herbert got some carries, bro. I like that part of it. They try to keep a balance with it, you know, of course, with throwing the ball and running the football. I understand that. It was just good to see Herbert out there doing his thing. But, yeah, man, that was a spot where you could say we can get better at for sure, you know. I understand we didn't see a no Swift or anything like that out there. But, you know, I want to see what it's going to look like with both of them together.
Nate Davis, ain't up. So – I'm going to say it just like this, audience. The reporters, they were very, very fucking honest and brutally honest with him, A-Dub. And they said, hey, do you think it's fair? The perception about you is that you don't want to practice. And he said, no. And he said, you don't get to this point by not working hard.
Bullshit, man. I'm sorry, man. I gotta call it that way, friends, because we all know this. You know this, and I know this, man. And we ain't gotta be football players. We understand that, man. Practice make perfect. You know what I mean? You gotta be out there on that field, bro. I don't care what you're saying, man. If you ain't on the field putting in work, bro, I don't care what you're doing solo. That don't mean nothing. You ain't going against no competition, man. You gotta go up against the ones who are out there doing it, man. Because it's not the same. You got to practice, man. Eberflus and his coaching staff teaches certain things, man. They want to see consistency with certain things. You ain't going to get that consistency by being on your own, man, or working out by yourself and all that stuff, man. You got to be on that field. So if he's talking about some, oh, man, you don't get to this point by without hard work, whatever, you ain't showing me nothing, bro. You ain't showing me nothing at all. You see me hard work. You ain't showing me no hard work out there on that field when you got your chance to practice. And on the field, you ain't showing us nothing out there. You ain't do nothing special. So
he was a liability out there, bro. And that's, to your point, that's why practice is so important. Because you could tell, he rusty out here. He missed a block on that little Herbert run. Chris Jenkins smoked his ass and he gave up a sack.
You are not ready, dude. You're not prepared, man. You missed so much time. You behind now. And you got exposed. So if you want to talk about get to your point, whoever got you here, you stop doing. Because you ain't been on the field in Chicago.
And this is the thing. Missing a block is one thing, bro. But this is a veteran player in the league and not knowing the play and not knowing where to go, that's a totally different thing all the way together. And I was like, bro, that's why you got to have your ass on the practice field, and that's why you got to be in that playbook. You need to know what the hell's going on.
For sure, Prez. And you talk a lot about this as well, the chemistry of the O-line. You ain't getting no chemistry by being on the sideline, bro. Only way you're going to get that chemistry is through playing.
Once Ryan Bates is healthy, hey, that's still a guy that we can look at that guard position. I know Matt Pryor, when he came in the game, the offense looked a lot better with him in there than it did with Nate Davis. And Nate Davis was your high-priced free agent that you brought in here.
Ooh. Now, Nate Davis don't want to hear that now. That's the truth. You don't want to hear that, man. So, you're right, Perez. Look, all eyes on Nate Davis. For real. Because we see his flaws.
I just think Matt Eberflus needs to make sure that this guy earns his starting job. He should not just be anointed the number one spot just because of his contract status. Fuck that. Right. I don't like that shit.
Because it's about trying to get some wins, man. You wouldn't put the best players we got on the field. I'm sorry. He making some money, good for him. You can take care of your family, great. But guess what? We're trying to win football games. We're trying to protect our quarterback. You cannot do it. We'll get somebody else to do it. And you're right, Prez. There still should be some competition going on at that guard spot.
No, 1,000%. And, I mean, you see it on defense, man. This Bears coaching staff, they're not playing any games. So let's not do that shit on the offensive side of the game. Because on defense, you saw with Eberflus and Washington, they turned up the pressure on the Bengals, bro. The Bengals didn't know what to do with themselves, man.
You got to love it, man. I mean, a lot of players play good on defense, bro. And it's just like about, you know, this coaching staff and what they demand from the defense. Like you said, bro. Got to demand that same type of energy and effort from the offense.
The blitzing.
Yep.
Keeping that pressure on the Bengals, man. I love that. You know what I mean? Even if it was their reserves, I don't give a damn. We're trying to prepare for a season. We got guys here that are trying to fight for roster spots. I love that aggressiveness. Even on offense, when you saw them come out and they were throwing the ball three consecutive times, it didn't work out the way you wanted to, but I just love seeing that aggressiveness. And also, like what we said, A-Dub, playing those starters through the second quarter. That's a side of this Bears coaching staff that you're seeing that we didn't see with the old regime. They kind of treated the preseason like meh.
They see this preseason, man, as huge, as a stepping stone to get this team prepared for the season. And that's how you go about it, man. The fact that they show exactly how they felt about Caleb Williams getting those extra reps, bro, that tells you a lot about what they're thinking about this preseason.
Well, that's the thing, man. You can't sleepwalk through preseasons, right? This team is not good enough to do that. I know Eberflus knows that, and it's really refreshing to see that they are taking this preseason seriously because they're going out there and they're punching people in the mouth right now, especially on defense.
That defense been aggressive, bro. I mean, you hear how Eberflus been acting in the locker room, bro, at halftime. Hey, we need some takeaways, you know what I mean? And they come out and do it. So they're responding to what coach want out of them, man. So that's big ups to the coaching staff and to these players, man. They want to win.
Kyler Gordon is a guy that I talked about a couple weeks ago and said, hey, I need this guy back on the practice field. You know, he's missed a lot of time there with that calf injury. But guess who showed up in a big way on Saturday? Kyler fucking Gordon.
This dude was everywhere, man. I mean, that sack press off that blitz. I was like, man, Kyler Gordon out there hitting hard, man. And this is the plays. These are the type of plays that you like from Kyler Gordon, man, that he bring that extra energy, bro, the extra physicality. Man, Kyler Gordon was out there balling.
It felt like it was like 10 Kyler Gordons out there on defense because he was, like you said, he was flying all over the place.
Right.
But the big thing is with a guy like that, and we talk about it so much on the show, but Kyler Gordon is an X factor on his defense. You want somebody in that nickel that plays the game like his hair is on fire. Kyler Gordon is out there. He's ready to hit, and he plays fast, and he plays physical. That's what you want in that nickel position. And he is the perfect, prototypical nickel for this defense.
He is showing his value to the team. To go out there, the way he played against the Bengals, that extra effort, man, I can't wait to see him for the season, Prez. Because if he's going to play like that, bro, I'm looking forward to seeing more of that. Those type of hits, those that type of physicality. We got a preview last year, of course, but, man, I'm just looking forward to seeing more of that.
Well, that's the thing. His pass coverage improved from the year before to last season, right? So we saw the improvement there. He makes a lot of plays around the line of scrimmage. But my thing here with him, injuries, man. If he can stay healthy, mercy.
I'm not so sure if this guy can stay out of injuries, bro, because of the way he plays, right? It's like, it's very physical, Perez. And when you play the way he plays, it's like saying a guy who goes in for a knockout punch, bro. You know, and when you're doing that, it can be a little risky, right? So when he plays like that, bro, he is prone to getting injured, you know, because of the way he plays. It's just like Mike Brown was, you know what I'm saying? Mike Brown got to hit hard, bro.
But, legend.
You know, right. Legend. A legend, but he got hurt sometimes too, bro, because he's just that physical, you know? So it kind of reminds me of Kyler Gordon in a way, you know?
Man, I wish Kyler Gordon would be half the player that Mike Brown was for us. You know what? Michael Nouse, one of our loyal listeners, he was just messaging us the other day, and he was talking about Mike Brown, and it almost brought a tear to my man, because I just remember being at Soldier Field for that game against the Browns when Mike Brown had that pick six walk-off, bro, and people left the stadium. Ooh. They thought the game was over and the Bears came back. Bruh, Dub, one of my favorite, hands down, one of my favorite games at Soldier Field. And I'm talking about Mike Brown made that play, bruh. I'm running, trying to run down the stairs and shit. I'm like, what? what did he do? Like, bro, it was a crazy scene. So I'm just saying, to your point, man, if Kyler Gordon could be half the player Mike Brown is, that would be amazing for this Bears defense. Mike Brown, legend. Legend. I hate that his career was cut so short, man, because of injury.
Yeah.
God, he was so good.
Amazing to watch, Prez. That game you talking about, bro, I was at home watching that game, man, and I couldn't believe it, bro. I mean, I was, like, still shocked to see that kind of play, man. I said, man, Mike Brown, you came through, bro. And that was the year we were talking about Mike Brown bringing the Pro Bowl and all that stuff. Uh-huh. Remember that? Yes, I was like, man, that dude played his butt off. But to your point, man, if Kyler Gordon can be anything like that, bro, woo, that's a win for the Chicago Bears, man.
Hey, man, before we get into giving out some game balls, I want to ask you your thoughts on Roma Dunze, man. Obviously, we talked about him leading up to the draft. Obviously, at the combine, getting drafted. His time during the training camp, developing. His budding chemistry with Caleb Williams. Now we're starting to see the production on the football field. What are just some of your early impressions of Roma?
Bro, I love his route running ability. I mean, they talk a lot about that in general, but just seeing it, bro, the ability to get open. I mean, it's going to be hard to contain a guy like him, bro, because you already talk about Keenan Allen and DJ Moore. How do you stop him? You know what I mean? Because he's not going to get the best corner every game. You know what I mean? But the seeing what he's able to do, get open, the hands he has. I mean, this dude is a stud, bro. Shoot, man. He may be the one of the ones that he could be the guy that probably be second in catches for the Chicago Bears. He could be, bro. He got that kind of talent and ability. The speed, the route running, and he had the hands. I mean, I've been impressed.
I'm telling you, man. And on that one play with Rome, when everybody's like, oh, how come he didn't get in the end zone? I'm like, well, for one, they didn't have the fucking end zone painted properly. So that, you know, I'm not trying to make excuses because you still got to know, you know, where you are on the field.
But right.
Chicago Park District. Come on now. Let's do better. Let's do better. Yep. I saw a lot of scenes on that field because Y'all had some concert or some foolishness at that damn stadium, and the field all fucking weird and jacked up. So get that shit right for the season now.
But to your other point, the ability to even get open to make that catch says a lot about Rome.
We could play Monday morning quarterback with that type of stuff all day long, though. I've been really impressed with him, and to the point that you made. The speed, dude, he's so fucking fast, right?
Man, yep.
And it's like you could tell he's got the different gears. And I've seen it in Hallis, and I'm like, Jesus Christ, man, this kid right here, he's a really good route runner. And you couple that with DJ Moore, that's a good route runner.
Right.
You couple that with Keenan Allen, that's a good route runner. And I know people talking about some Keenan Allen out here looking like he out of shape. Listen, Keenan Allen is 32 years old. He's a veteran in this league. Keenan Allen ain't got to be in shape right now, and they're pacing him. It's a long season. You want Keenan Allen healthy for the 17. You ain't worried about what he's doing week two of the playoffs against the fucking Bengals.
Absolutely, Prez. And you got a young guy with Rome Odunze who can take some pressure off him as well. So it's like, hey, you're right, man. We can pace Keenan, man. We need him for the long haul. So the Bears are doing a good job at that.
Rome showed you in college when he was at Washington that he was a playmaker. That ain't no fluke, because we've seen it already now with Caleb. And think about this. People that play fantasy football, I got a message for y'all. Y'all better draft Caleb Williams early. Because this boy about to put up some numbers this season. Numbers.
Man, Prez, I can see that happening, man. Without a doubt. Especially how this offense is flowing like it's going to flow. With the weapons that he has, you got to, man. He got enough to throw to, bro. And the fact he got three very, very good wide receivers that we've been talking about on many occasions, you got to, man. Because right now, Caleb Williams got the goods. He can throw, and he got the players around him.
Like we've been saying, no excuses. No excuses.
None, bro. He got none, man. It'll be a shocker to me. If he don't get 4K yards.
Oh, yeah. 4,000 easily.
Yeah. You'll be mad as hell, Prez. You're like, he didn't get 4K. You'll be cussing like crazy. Like, what do you mean? It's within rim.
Oh, yeah. If he don't get 4K, I'm like, something happened. Something bad happened. And I'm not putting it out in the universe. But I'm just going to say, that's the only way it don't happen.
Exactly.
All right, let's get on some game balls, man, before we get out of here. Offense, what say you?
I got to give it to Dante Pettis, man, on offense.
Yeah!
I like that, man. Dante came out there and said, you got these second string or third string guys trying to defend me? Hey, man, touchdown. Not one, but two on them. Hey, Dante showed me a lot, man. He wasn't that great on punt return, but, you know, but I'll give him that on offense, man. As a wide receiver, he done very well.
We talk about this roster and how close it's going to be for a lot of these roster spots, right? So Dante Pettis is a guy that's fighting for a wide receiver 5, wide receiver 6 spot. And I know, you know, you talked about punt return, how he lost yards on that one play. But his versatility and the ability to be able to play special teams does make him attractive to probably the coaching staff. So when he has performances like he had on Saturday, catching everything thrown to him, getting the touchdowns, man, come on, man. What are we talking about?
Man, ain't nothing I can say bad about him, bro, really, you know? That was me nitpicking him on punt return, though. He was trying to make something happen, bro, you know?
He was.
I can't hate on that, you know, because he's like, look, I gotta keep a job around here, man. He tried, but you're right, man. The guy played well. He's going to need to continue to wow this coaching staff, man, for things to work out into his favor. So I like what I saw in that game.
I'm going to give my game ball to Tyson Bagent. I have to, man, because after the Hall of Fame game, you know, I was running my mouth a little bit.
Right.
And, you know, it's just one of those things, man. Brett Rypien, you know, he tore it up out there. Him and Colin Johnson, they was just having a ball out there. And I thought Brett, his ascension, pushed Tyson a bit, right? Because we saw in this game against the Bengals, Tyson was out there looking sharp, bro.
No, I agree with you, bro. He looked like a number two for sure, you know? And he looked better than what he did last season in a way. You know what I mean? So you think about how he was last season, where he was at early on, and seeing him right now, like laser focused, bro, and making those accurate throws, getting rid of football very quickly like he was doing, accurately as well. commanding the offense like that, bro, he showed a lot of growth. Because you're right. When you people talking about Brett Rippin, he was like, oh, I'll hear y'all. Okay. Okay. All right. I heard the noise. Okay. Let me go out there and show you all something.
Mm-hmm. Him and Austin Reed with guys that everybody was like, he basically might be at risk losing his job. Well, that conversation has ended. After Saturday, my man Tyson was like, what were y'all talking about? Perez, what was you saying? Nothing.
You put us all on mute, bro.
Yes, sir. That's the importance of having a good backup quarterback in this league, is you never know what's going to happen, and the Bears have one in Tyson. Like I said, but still, I guarantee you, though, the presence of Brett Rippin forced him to up his game. But and that's the thing. That's what this roster that Ryan Poles has brought to the forefront. He's made sure that there's competition here within this roster.
Each player on this team is pushing the next player. We know for sure that Tyson Bagent got pushed. Like, hey, okay, you nudge me now, Brett. I got you, man. You know, you guys are going out there performing very well. I got to show the world, hey, why I am QB number two. So you're right, bro. This competition level, you got to enjoy it, man, for real, because that's what you want to see out of players. You want to see the growth, but they're also being pushed by each other to get to that point.
On defense, I'm going to give my game ball to Daniel Hardy. This is a guy that we talked about on last week's show.
Yep.
And again, A-Dub, there's a number of these guys, these under-the-radar players that a lot of people don't really talk about, don't really think about heading into these preseason and these training camps. And one of those guys always just kind of like rises to the top. And it's been Daniel Hardy this time around. Come on, man. Back-to-back strong performances, man. 2.5 sacks last week. Then he follows it up with another sack, 2 quarterback hits, that forced fumble. Man, that had Soldier Field jumping. And again, shout out to our boy, Keith Randolph Jr., man, from the University of Illinois, for recovering that fumble.
Yeah.
Shout out.
Salute to Randolph Jr., man. I love to see that, man. He was pumped too, bro, when he recovered that fumble, man.
Oh, yeah, he was. Yeah, he was.
I love it, man. Loud now in the house. I love it.
And I was yelling ILL. We got some chance going.
Appreciate you guys, man, for sure, you know. But definitely, Keith Randolph, man, we love what you did out there, bro. Way to recover.
But now going back to Hardy, man, I mean, again, a very impressive preseason for him. And there's probably a couple of roster spots that are available right now. He's making it super hard on his coaching staff to figure out what they're going to do there at defensive end. I mean, we talked about it, right? When you got a guy like Austin Booker, you know he's going to make the team. But we've been looking and hoping, hey, is there somebody that's going to be able to emerge opposite of Montez Sweat? Right.
Right.
So when you look at this defensive line front, you're wondering, okay, DeMarcus Walker, what you got for us? Austin Booker? Hey, you might got one there. Dominique Robinson? Hey, Doves boy? What you got there?
Right.
But then you look at a guy like Daniel Hardy, he might have something there.
These are some guys that, you know, past guys that we have seen on this team who thought would, you know, be even better. But just seeing some of these new faces, bro, like Daniel Hardy step up, Booker step up, it's like, man, you enjoy that.
Well, see, this is the thing. Dominique Robinson is really benefiting from the fact that Jacob Martin is sidelined with injury. Dominique Robinson had that one splash play that we gave him props for, but other than that, he's been pretty quiet.
You're right, Prince. He has been quiet, man. And we didn't see enough from him, man, against the Bengals. So it's like, hey, bro, other cats on here, man, showing the coaching staff what they can do, where you at, you know? So, hey, you can be passed up. You don't get it together.
Who's getting your defensive game ball, bro?
Blackwell getting mine, Perez.
Blackwell's a stud. He's a stud.
He was a stud out there, bro. I mean, deflections, tackles, you know, all that stuff, man. He was right there on the money making some big plays, bro. You know, and stopping these wide receivers, their momentum, and getting those tackles was huge, man. And I thought he competed very well. And he was out there playing punt return, too. So it's like, hey, you know what? This dude doing double duty, Perez. So I'm like, hey, he's out there playing well. So I got to give it to Blackwell, man. He played well.
Hey, listen, Blackwell's been one of these guys for the last couple seasons on this team that you're like, man, this kid's an example of just the development that's been done on this team, especially on defense.
Yep.
And a guy has really emerged because he is somebody on film. He flashes, right? You notice him on that fucking field. Yeah, so that's a hell of a Game Bar recipient right there, man. Josh Blackwell, that boy, he can ball.
Salute to Josh Blackwell, man. Keep it going, bro.
Well, listen, man, as always, bro, it was dope chopping it up with you. We got Hard Knocks coming out again this week, so audience, we'll be back. First of all, we're gonna be back. I'll be live in Kansas City at the game, so A Dub and I'll probably end up coming back to you guys probably sooner rather than later with the show. But we'll recap the Chiefs game, and we'll have some thoughts there on Hard Knocks, man. I'm looking forward to seeing what happens in this game against Kansas City. Do the starters play, or does Eberflus decide to kind of put them on the shelf?
We'll see, man. We'll see. You know, whatever Eberflus does, I'm going to ride with it.
Yes, sir. Well, audience, man, we appreciate you guys and your continued support of the platform. We told y'all, man, we was going to come back, and we're going to come back and keep hitting y'all with these episodes. So we are back, baby. And we'll be back later on this weekend. But hey, until then, we are out.